You're listening to the Chances Report on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Dave Edwards, joined in the studio by the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Mike Lovell. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Thanks, Dave.
Busy time, as always. I think I say that at the beginning of every show, because I'm always amazed at all the different things you and the campus is involved in any given month. And I recall that when the budget was approved, there was money set aside to the Board of Regents for an incentive grant program. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so it's true that, you know, even though we did undergo a budget cut in many areas, the one area that the state did invest into the UW system was for an incentive grant program to really promote economic development and workforce development for the state. And they put $22.5 million out there for the biennium, 11.25 each year, to fund grants and programs that really helped, you know, create jobs and help with the economic vitality of the state.
Mm-hmm. So everybody gets to compete for this. So UWM was obviously, I'm sure, at the forefront of competing for that money.
Yeah, it was interesting because the program, they didn't limit the number of submissions by any institution. So I believe they had 56 or 57 submissions from the campuses, over $70 million in proposed grants. So it's going to be fairly competitive. They're in the process of selecting them now. But one of the things that I thought was really neat is the campus really came together, and I was really proud of what came out. It was on a very, very short time frame, actually. We knew it was coming. The RFP between the RFP and when the proposals were due was a period of about 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
And so it was really fast. Even though we did have a heads up, we knew it was coming. So we had started working maybe 4 or 5 weeks before the proposals were due, but didn't know exactly what was going to be required of us until 2 weeks before. And it required a lot of late hours and actually weekends. We met with me and a group of faculty and staff. We were meeting on Sunday evenings in my office to pull these things together. But I was really, really proud of the way the campus stepped forward and what we were actually able to produce in those proposals.
So can you talk about what kind of proposals came from UWM or are in the process?
Oh, yeah, sure. And again, I think that one of the neat things was that all of them kind of came together in areas where I think are critically important for the state to move forward and where areas where we have strength. And I think we had two really come out of the water area is with the opening of the new Global Water Center, which we opened up a month or so ago. There was one proposal came out of a water technology accelerator that really focused on getting equipment and personnel in place so that we can accelerate the technology that we're developing in the area of water to actually lead to commercialization, particularly partnering with the Water Council and some of the startup companies that are in the Global Water Center. A second one from water came out of the area of aquaculture and aquaponics, which again, it's a really an emerging area. We're talking about being a $5 billion industry over the next 5 to 10 years and really setting up what we need to be the trainers in the technology developers. We hold the patents, you know, particularly around perch, which is in our School of Freshwater Sciences, and we're also the only ones who really know the technology on how you get the yield you need from the fingerlings to having a full-size perch in 8 months. And so if we have a $5 billion industry, the workforce will be required. You know, we need to set up an infrastructure to do the training and actually, you know, help the industry flourish here in the state and become really the centrally located part for the nation around aquaponics. Another thing that came out was in the area of innovation and entrepreneurship. You know, a pathways program which, you know, actually reaches way back all the way to the K-12 level, and we'd be doing programs where we would be helping students develop apps and technology in high school and middle school, then having supporting things like on our own campus, like the Startup Challenge, all the way to supporting faculty and postdocs and commercializing their technology. So it's really a pathway program that has, you know, all across the campus and actually into K-12, helping new companies get started in Milwaukee and in southeastern Wisconsin. There also was a proposal from our Letters in Science around Applied Chemistry Center of Excellence that really there's a lot of need. We've heard from industry that one of the things that we could do better on, particularly in areas of energy and water sectors, is more chemistry and chemical engineering expertise, and to have a center of excellence where we would provide resources for companies that we currently, from what I'm hearing from the business community, currently lack, and give opportunities for our faculty and students to go forward. So really, these proposals have been fantastic. And again, the last one deals with K-12, particularly solving the math issues we have in terms of students when they, you know, graduate, they no longer need remedial math because we know they'll be more successful on our campus. So I know I've said a lot in a about the proposals, but really, to me, it's very exciting what's come forward from campus.
Well, let's think optimistically. When they're funded, we can talk in greater detail about this.
Sure.
So you had a relatively short window, as you said, to sort of get these proposals in final form for submission. But I presume these were all ideas that were in the works well in advance, because even if you started the minute this incentive grant program was announced to the time it was submitted, I mean, this is a lot of work.
Well, we knew when it was passed in the budget that it was going to come forward. We didn't know exactly when it was going to be. So we'd had discussions on campuses. Particularly, we brought this forward to the deans, and it was on the dean's radar screen. So as you see, as these came out, you know, particularly you heard about freshwater science, and I didn't mention there was an energy proposal as well, working with the Midwest Energy Research Consortium, water, energy, you know, the engineering, for science, letters and science, business for the innovation entrepreneurship. So, you know, these really, you know, came through the schools and colleges based on what the priorities were coming from campus.
Mm-hmm. If these are funded, or if some of these are funded, let's put it like that, is this a hedge against some of the cuts that you've been dealing with, or is this just new projects, new money, and it has nothing to do with the cuts that
you've been experiencing? Well, no, I think it will help with, you know, some of the things that have been cut. It's certainly not going to replace the money that we're losing, but it will be helpful because we can use some of these funds for things like salaries for staff and potentially, you know, one of the things we've talked about is maybe hiring a new faculty with this money, even though it's 2 years, with the idea that we would either carry this forward, you know, onward and be able to fund those full-time, or maybe bring in other new funds to fund faculty through these lines.
So when do you find out if you're
successful? Very quickly, early November. You know, again, the turnaround time, I think between when the RFP was released to when they're making decisions was 4 or 5 weeks. And so, you know,
this is going to be pretty competitive, though.
Yeah, sure. You know, and, you know, again, one of the nice things about most of our proposals, we're collaborative with other institutions. You know, we collaborate with Madison and Energy, you know, Whitewater, around water, Parkside, in terms of our chemistry proposal. So I think there's some really strong linkages with some of the other campuses.
I don't think you said this. Who makes the decision? Is this a regent decision then, who gets funded?
So, yeah, there's a regent. There's a READY committee that is part of the Board of Regents. And so they've solicited some external individuals from the state, particularly people in economic development agencies like the Water Council and the New North and other places, to bring in some people that are experts in economic developments within the state to help make decisions.
Yeah, well, keep us posted on that.
I will.
We've talked on this program a number of times, many times actually, about the Innovation Campus that's opening in Wauwatosa. And in late October is an exciting new development, if you call opening a road an exciting new development.
Yeah, we got to cut the ribbon for the Discovery Parkway out of Innovation Campus, which goes right through the heart of Innovation Campus. And it was interesting when we were out there that I didn't realize all the construction that was going on, you know, around Swan Boulevard. As soon as we cut it, it was actually a pretty heavily traveled road just because they have other roads shut down out there. But it was exciting. And to drive the road, if anybody's out there gets the chance, it's really exciting because when you come off of Watertown Plank Road and you go up on Discovery Parkway, the first building you see, you know, larger than life is our accelerator building, and it's just really exciting to see that happening place. And then you just go a little bit further, and the ABB's new building is there, and it's really funny. There's a roundabout there, and I think the second day, I think the one of the light poles on the road was knocked over by a car because it's a lot to look at, and I think somebody just was must have been looking at our building or the ABB building and just, you know, hit the light post and knocked it over. It's kind of funny. Yeah.
So to what extent, I mean, okay, so the road gives access to these buildings, but I mean, where is this campus and what's happening next or what's happening now?
Oh, well, I mean, if you go out there, there's construction pretty much going on every corner. You know, our first building's being done in February, and it's, you know, when I was there, they were putting the windows in. It's getting close to, you know, then we're doing some of the finishing on the inside. So it's going to be done fairly soon. So we're excited. And the ABB building, the frame is up, you know, and it's exciting to see it. It's much bigger than I initially had anticipated or had envisioned. But they're also starting to prepare the site for, you know, extended stay hotel that will be there. And maybe in the most recent activities, they're going to start developing on the housing that they're going to have, the apartments and condos they're going to be building out around the Eschweiler buildings out there as well. And so, there's going to be construction out there for the foreseeable future, you know, with the projects we have going on. And we continuously have inquiries about partners, you know, building buildings with us out there as well. And, even just this week, I had two other inquiries of other institutions that want to be there with us. And so one of the nice things is that, you know, we're able to be, you know, because there's a demand for it, we're going to be pretty selective on who we have be partner with us, because we want to pick partners that we're really going to be collaborative with and be able to, through the partnership, we'll bring new resources and opportunities for both organizations.
This campus really changes the way people, I think, are going to look at UWM, because it's not just the UWM campus. And yes, there have been other facilities that have gone on downtown, but this perhaps will be one of the most visible locations.
Oh, there's no doubt. And the one neat thing about the road is when you turn onto it, there's a huge retaining wall that is pretty impressive. And there's the UWM, they're in the process of putting the UWM logos and name all over that wall. And it's larger than life. And you just won't be able to see it pulling in, but you'll be able to see it from, if you're going up 45, you know, and actually that intersection, the Zoo Interchange, is the most traveled intersection in the state.
Wow.
On a daily basis. And, you know, we're going to be, everyone's going to see us, you know, that is traveling that interchange.
Yeah, well, boy, that area is sure under a lot of construction.
Yeah. So
it'll be that way for a while. Also last month, I know UWM held an event to introduce the latest student-run businesses supported by the Student Startup Challenge during the academic year. So why is the Student Startup Challenge so important? And maybe reflect back on what it is.
Well, I think, so the Student Startup Challenge, you know, we're in our second year, and it's really helping change the culture on our campus where students, we have a saying now where students can start their own company while they get their degree. And that's really the idea behind the Startup Challenge, that we have student teams submit ideas, and we actually provide $10,000 in funding for those students to launch their company while they're still in school. And when we just don't give them the money, but we also give them a support structure. You know, they work with engineers and artists and other individuals to help develop the products through classes on campus. And they also work with business students and others to develop their business plan. And so,
which is a really critical phase.
Yes, exactly. And so I often say that, you know, it's great for them to go through this, you know, when they're still in school, because we're giving them support. And even if they happen to fail, they're still going to succeed because they're going to get a degree. And if they want to go do it once they graduate, they're going to be more successful because they've gone through it one time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, last round, you know, and actually in 2 years, we've had more than 120 teams on our campus submit proposals to start their own company. It's just been phenomenal. And one of the neat things about this year is because last year was so successful and was considered a kind of a best-in-class model across the country on doing something like this, we got money from both the national level and from the state. So we had 3 teams supported the first year. This year we were able to support 8 teams. And so it's really exciting, you know, for me to see the student body really step forward with something. And there's several reasons why I think it's important. First is, as we've talked before, is that the millennial generation, in 2011, the Kauffman Foundation did a report, and 54% of this millennial generation wants to start their own company or work for themselves. And so we need to provide opportunities, these pathways for them to do that, and hopefully in ways they'll be successful, because when you think about it, almost all the recent studies show that nearly all the new net jobs in the U.S. are created by new firms.
That's amazing.
And so, yeah.
And yet Wisconsin itself is not genuinely viewed as the hub of these kind of entrepreneurial challenges. People might think of Silicon Valley or even Minnesota, but Wisconsin doesn't have that reputation.
Yeah, and so when you really think about it, Wisconsin was, I mean, particularly Milwaukee, our roots are founded with people that did this. You know, think about the way they've grown, particularly in the 1900s. Unfortunately, Wisconsin and Milwaukee have kind of gotten away from that in recent years. The state is currently ranked 33rd in the country in you know, the new net job growth. And what I think is more disturbing to me is the fact that in the last two decades, last 20 years, that Kauffman Foundation report, actually it was this year's Kauffman Foundation report, showed that Milwaukee was at the national average in terms of job creation and entrepreneurship in 1990, and now we're in the bottom quartile over the last 20 years. And this was also highlighted by the GMC, the Greater Milwaukee Community, which showed that of 16 peer cities, we actually ranked dead last in entrepreneurship and 13th, third to last in startups formed. And so the idea of what we're doing on the campus level, you know, I'm seeing there's a certain energy that is spilling out in, you know, into the city. And I think that between what's going on the campus and what's going on in the city, I think we're seeing a change. And I think we're seeing a much more entrepreneurship and much more of a step forward in this new job creation through startup companies.
Yeah, and so this isn't just a UWM initiative. This is meeting the state's objective and the governor's objective for job creation as well.
No doubt about it. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, I've often said that, you know, UWM has to be a driver, because when you look around the country and you think about the top four, just so if you go to the what are the top four places in the country that are creating new jobs, it's Boulder, Colorado, Fort Collins, Colorado, San Jose, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And what's in common with those four cities? Well, they all have a major research university that is driving that job creation and startup, you know, between the University of Colorado, Colorado State, Stanford and Berkeley, and MIT. Mm-hmm. You know, those institutions are all really important in the ecosystem of those cities that are we're seeing the economic growth. And so I know that UWM, that's something we have to continue to foster. So we're not only filling the needs of what the students want, but we're also filling the needs of what the city and the state needs us to do.
Well, it's kind of exciting in a way, because when you think about college students, and you know, this is a broad generalization, but generally have the attitude of, I can't fail. I'm going to be successful. Yeah. And so whereas someone of my age or possibly your age might view it as with a little bit more, you know, caution, yeah, it's just throw it at the wind and let's go.
Yeah, and the nice thing is that these individuals are at a point in their lives where if they do fail, they don't have all those responsibilities that some of us have, and that they can just go on and do their next thing.
So can you tell us something about some of the projects that have been funded already?
Yeah, and first I will say the it's very exciting to me that the I looked at the first year, the second year, not that there was anything not exciting about the first year's projects, because two out of the three teams selected in the first year went on to win other competitions and additional money to launch their companies. But the level of projects in year two actually have really raised the bar. They've taken a step up. And I would say they've become much more diverse across all corners of campus. We already had much of campus represented, you know, in schools and colleges, students that they were from. Every school and college is now represented in the startup challenge. And some of the things that there's a lot of different things. One is an aqua sensor device, again, coming out of our School of Freshwater Science, where they're using hardware and software together to help lower the cost and turnaround time for products that detect bacteria and E. coli in water. Mm. So this is a very, you know, cost-effective system that people not only here, if you want to test lake water, but people in, you know, third world countries or in other parts of the world could test the water very quickly and easily. And there's really a huge demand for this. And when you think about clean drinking water and the challenges that are faced, you know, out there. And another one, we have an electrostatic particle trap, which is working to develop a product that confines a single cell in order to view and analyze it through a microscope. So again, this is something that would be attached to a microscope, and it's really it's an exciting level. Another thing that's new this year is, you know, we focused on hardware in the first year. The second year, some of the products we're developing are actually software innovations. And one of the ones I've gotten to see develop, which I was really excited about, is an educational adventure software platform that is really neat, because what the students developed is a competency-based system where students are learning their math skills, and when they complete a competency, they actually do this with an iPad. They actually sync up the iPad with the teacher, and they get a component for a spaceship. And so as they complete lessons, their spaceship gets built. And then once the spaceship is built, as they then continue to progress on and, you know, sync up with the teacher, then they get to go on adventures and go to different places. And the nice thing it is, not only is the students get excited about this because, you know, as they're getting competent in their math skills, they're getting to go on missions and have the spaceship. But the teacher then, every time they get synced up, the teacher knows, you know, how long it took them to be competent, you know, what they may have struggled with, how long it took them, how many problems they got right and wrong. And it gives them an immediate feedback to understand, you know, where the students are in terms of the concept, so they can go in and then spend more time on certain areas if they see the class in general is having more difficulty with one thing or another.
I feel so dumb when I listen to this stuff, because not only is this executive, but somebody thought of this.
I know. You know, and they're 20-year-old students. It's really exciting.
Yeah. You're listening to the Chancellor's Report. Mike Lovell, Chancellor for the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, is our guest in conversation here on WUWM. This community has heard a lot about Will Allen's urban farm company, organization called Growing Power, and I know that UWM continues a number of initiatives with Growing Power.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, aquaponics. You know, we did submit a incentive grant proposal for aquaponics, but you know, this work is not something that's new for our campus. It's something that we've had extreme amount of expertise in. We've actually led the country. And we have a faculty member of School for Water Science, Fred Binkowski, who holds the patents particularly for getting, you know, perch to be able to spawn and to become fully grown in 8 months. And it really is something that is going to be very important when you think about aquaponics and aquaculture and the industry that is being developed, that, you know, that it really it's, you know, it all started here, you know, in Milwaukee in our School of Freshwater Sciences. And we're partnering with Growing Power. And, you know, Will Allen is certainly he speaks for himself and the things that he's been doing in terms of urban agriculture and aquaculture. And one of the neat things about this partnership is that, you know, we're doing the science in the School of Freshwater Science, but Will Allen has all the outreach into the community. And so if we want to scale this up and get it into you know, the urban community, Will's the person to do that. And it's just – it's a great marriage. And, you know, I was very excited when we announced this partnership because I believe that, you know Will Allen's Growing Power has already blossomed into a national model, actually a global model for how you do sustainable food systems, you know, in an urban environment. If we can take our technology and then – we can do it right now in our School of Social Science. If we can get people in the community to be able to do it, it becomes a viable business model then for inner cities, and we'll create new jobs, particularly for populations that, A, don't always have access to good food, and B, a lot of times are the highest areas of unemployment that they can actually do this. And you think about it, it's a whole new type of farmer that we're developing or potentially could develop.
Right.
And one of the neat things I see on the campus is our students are really excited about this. It's something that they want to do. They look at it as something that is part of their future. And so, again, I think that they're showing that the business model's there, particularly when we talk about perch, you know, and we all know how people in Wisconsin and the Midwest love their Friday fish fry. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, perch, you know, the financial model, it's what they produce will bring about twice as much money as typically cod would produce. And so I think that that at least half the seafood in the country is going to be coming from, you know, aquaponics, aquaculture, they're predicting the next few years. And so I think it's great for us. I think it's very fortunate to have Will Allen to have a partner. I think it's great that we have the technology being developed in our School of Freshwater Science to make this happen.
Yeah, this could be very revolutionary. And it shows, I think, how universities have changed, because now it's not just academic research that happens in a college professor's lab or in a classroom, but it's really affecting a community.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, well, again, I think when you talk about a university like UWM, we really are, you know, we have to be an anchor institution for the community. We have to be part of the solution of all the problems that the community faces. And we recognize that. So I think we would be slightly different than some other institutions that, you know, aren't rooted in that urban setting, you know, mm-hmm. where we really need to have the outreach. And again, and a great thing for the university, it also becomes, you know, it can become a research lab as well, the whole city,
Yeah, great. So this is a really awkward transition, outreach. Another way you can look at outreach is sports.
Yeah.
And I know that the UWM athletic program is just winding down its fall season and getting ready for basketball season.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had a great fall in terms of our sports team success. All of our, you know, heading into the end of their seasons, all of our fall sports are poised to compete for championships. Both our volleyball and women's volleyball and women's soccer are in first place in our Horizon League, heading down the home stretch, and our men's soccer team is in second place. Looking very strong. We've had a great year in men's soccer. And even cross-country, I think, talking to Coach Pete Korfeld, his team has he said he thinks this is his best team heading into the championships, and he thinks they're going to place as high up as they've placed in certainly the last 10 years. And so it's very exciting for us. We've had a really strong tradition. We have great coaches on our campus, and certainly win the McCaffrey Trophy, which is the Horizon League all sports teams, and certainly how we're doing this fall, is well positioning us. And we've had a good start to the swim season, one of our winter sports, and basketball is just going to be, it's just right around the corner,
you know,
and so we're excited about both our men's and women's teams and how they might do this year.
March Madness, baby. Yeah. Mid-October, there was the Panther Family Weekend, and yeah. I know you spoke at that event, and a lot of people showed up.
Yeah, and since I've been chancellor, this is by far the most families that we've had. I had a breakfast for them in the Wisconsin room, and there wasn't a single place to sit. It was jam packed, and the tables were tight together because we had 500 people come for family weekend. And I think that to me, it's a sign of how the campus is changing, because we now draw so many students from not only the out reaches of Wisconsin, but from other states and around the world, that this becomes opportunity for parents to come see their child for the first time after they go to school, because they're not within the seven counties around Milwaukee, and they're not coming home to do the laundry on the weekend. And the thing that struck me, which should have been surprised, was how many families were from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have record enrollments of both out of state and international students, so I guess I shouldn't have been too surprised. But we had a lot of families from Illinois, a lot of state families from Minnesota, Iowa. It was really exciting.
Gratifying, yeah, to see that. And in your spare time, you managed to participate in an annual conference of the Coalition of Urban and Metropolitan Universities.
Yeah.
I imagine there's a lot of similar issues among your brethren to discuss.
Yeah. And it was interesting, getting back to what I mentioned being an anchor institution, this is really a conference that of other urban universities like UWM that really are looking at the whole idea about the conference is how are you working with your community to help both your institution and the community more successful. And what we talked most about at this conference, when talking to my peers, was how we can really help in partnerships in the K-12 system, so help students when they do graduate from K-12 be successful when they set foot on our campus, and what programs we had in place, and things we're doing. And I give an example. The host was Louisville, and they had a great project that they were doing with UPS. And about 10 years ago, UPS was having trouble getting a workforce, and they were thinking about leaving Louisville for their headquarters because their workers probably work from 11 p.m. to 5 or 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
because that's when they shut down the Louisville airport. They bring in all the planes from UPS, and they do the packages routing, and they send them back off. And it's labor intensive, and it's odd hours. And what they did, which was a really interesting model, is they work with the University of Louisville and the K-12 education system to start an internship program where they took high school juniors and seniors and had them work, particularly in the summer before their freshman year in college, and started working at the UPS plant, and then they actually gave them a scholarship to the University of Louisville. And so they went to school full-time. They had to be enrolled at school full-time in good academic standing. And if they did that, they were able to work for UPS and get their full scholarship. And it completely solved the workforce issue for UPS. And it actually gave students from the inner cities of Louisville an opportunity to go to school and have it paid for. And the requirement that they, held 2.0 or higher grade point average, helped ensure that they were in good academic standing and were moving forward to complete their degrees.
Yeah. We're just about out of time, I wanted to congratulate you on the fact that you're back to running. You mentioned a few months ago that you had surgery, and you showed up here in a cast like a real trooper, but I guess you're doing well and back on the track.
Yeah. We I was off for about 10 weeks, and I was real excited a few weeks ago to be able to get back and run again, and it's something that I really enjoy, and hopefully next year I'll be back doing the marathon.
You said this was like one of your first major running injuries, so what is it like, Nadi? Are you a little bit more tentative?
When you come back, I think when you first – I remember the first run or two, you are definitely tentative, and you're kind of into – it's a weird sensation after not running for so long. But your body has a good memory, and it's been – I feel pretty good now, and I feel like I have my stride back.
Well, we're getting closer to winter, so be careful of icy roads.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
You've been listening to the Chancellor's Report on WUWM. Mike Lovell, the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, has been our guest in conversation. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.